Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2440 with a release date of Friday, August 2nd, 2024 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. The Bouvet Island 3Y0K team negotiates for a transport vessel. Mechanical Key Week gets underway for CW operators, and long hidden artifacts of a college radio club come to light. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2440 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Union, Kentucky, here's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Our top story this week is the Bouvet Island De-Expedition 3Y0K, which is making progress and getting back on track for 2026. Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, has those details.
The 3Y0K Bouvet Island De-Expedition, which suspended its acceptance of donations in April while organisers reassessed the trip's financial picture, has plans to go forward with a $1.6 million budget in 2026. According to the De-Expedition website, negotiations are underway for a contract for a large transport vessel. The team says it already has received all the helicopter permits necessary from the Norwegian Polar Institute. The De-Expedition's cost is expected to be shared with, quote, a small private group, end quote, according to organisers. The website describes the De-Expedition as a large-scale operation with 20 to 24 operators, but said the team still needs between 4 and 6 additional amateurs for CWSSB operation. The 3-week trip to the remote island is to be fully financed up front, but Bouvet's planners hope to restart their fundraising campaign soon, seeking donations from individuals and clubs as a way of recovering some expenses. The fundraising is not expected to resume until a contract is signed for the vessel. This is Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
In the U.S., the FCC made some changes to its emergency alert system. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, tells us what's in store.
The Federal Communications Commission is hoping to add a new event code to its emergency alert system and will meet to consider the proposal on Wednesday, August 7th. The three-letter code, MEP, is designed to cover individuals who are overlooked by existing codes, such as Amber Alerts, which focus on abducted and missing children. The MEP event code for missing and endangered persons would also be used in wireless emergency alerts. The FCC believes the new alert code would fill a need to bring awareness to the thousands of people, mainly missing Indigenous and Native women, who cannot be located. Many tribal organizations and various Native communities have urged the FCC to activate the code. FCC Chair Jessica Rosenworcel said it would allow for, quote, a more rapid and coordinated response to incidents and build on the efforts of tribal nations, the Department of Interior, and the Department of Justice to collect comprehensive data on missing and endangered Indigenous person cases, end quote. The FCC said that manufacturers of equipment used in the nation's emergency alert system will be given time to upgrade software and do whatever else is necessary to integrate the new code. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
A retired public official in India who was committed to using ham radio to aid communication in remote regions has died in the United States during a family visit. We have details about him from Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Sudip Kumananda had a long career in public service in his home state of Gujarat, focusing with public health and welfare foremost on his agenda. His efforts included overseeing relief provided in the aftermath of a 2001 earthquake and a strong advocacy for blood donation and the Ayurvedic system of traditional medicine. One of his most prominent contributions as a public servant was to introduce amateur radio in parts of the state underserved by traditional communication services. Following a cyclone in 1997 when he was serving as relief commissioner of the state, he promoted ham radio to ensure that hard-hit districts still had a means of communicating. He advocated again for amateur radio in 2001, following an earthquake in January. That same year, the Gujarat Institute of Amateur Radio was created, and with his extensive experience in disaster communication management, he was chosen as its chairman. His radio contributions endured, especially in 2023 when Cyclone Biparjoy struck the state, and the Gujarat Institute of Amateur Radio sent 38 hams to the state's Emergency Operations Center to assist with disaster communications. He and his wife were visiting their daughter in New York at the time of his death, July 26, and local media said the cause was cardiac arrest. Nanda was 68. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Although amateur radio was not taking a significant role as emergency response teams battled the fast-moving wildfires in the Canadian province of British Columbia, the challenges facing Western Canada have been providing some emergency communicators with a blueprint for going forward. Randy Sly, W4XJ, has that report.
Even as they keep an eye on the wildfires threatening the West, the Salvation Army Emergency Disaster Services teams have been working on a comprehensive plan called PACE for Primary, Alternate, Contingency, and Emergency to address communications across Canada. Emergency Disaster Specialist for the Maritime Division of the Salvation Army, John Bignall, VE1JMB, told Newsline that the plan includes the critical role hams can play in disaster response efforts. Toward that end, the EDS teams are studying IP-Link systems such as Yaesu Fusion and Echolink, and such technologies as Winlink, so that traffic can be passed even when the communications infrastructure has suffered a failure. John told Newsline, quote, "We believe that by internal training and developing relationships with local hams and ham clubs in each region, we can significantly improve our disaster response capabilities," end quote. The Salvation Army EDS teams see this as an opportunity to deliver what could be needed in the future when a more extensive amateur radio involvement may be needed. Meanwhile, said John, the teams are collaborating with each division to develop a more comprehensive communication plan. This is Randy Sly, W4XJ.
We reported recently that SpaceX had been awarded a contract from NASA for a spacecraft that is to deorbit the International Space Station in 2030, when its operational lifetime concludes. At a July 17th press briefing with NASA, SpaceX said it will help NASA accomplish this by creating an enhanced version of its Dragon spacecraft, known as the United States Deorbit Vehicle. It will be based on the original Dragon, but its trunk section will be redesigned and twice as long with more thrusters. The final ISS crew will depart the station once the altitude reaches 300 kilometers, down from its present 400 kilometers, as part of a natural decay in its orbit. There's still time to participate in Mechanical Key Week, an annual celebration of Morse code hosted by the FIS CW Club. Participants started getting on the air on Thursday, August 1st, and the week doesn't end until the 11th of August. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, has more details.
The FIST's CW Club has been promoting the use of Morse code on the air for 37 years. During Mechanical Key Week, hams are busy with their straight keys, cooties and bugs. Best of all, you don't need to belong to FIST's to be part of this activity. Logs are due no later than the 7th of September. FIST's is also known as the International Morse Preservation Society. It has chapters in Europe, East Asia, Oceania, the Americas. It was founded in England by George Longdon, G3ZQS/GX3ZQS, whose call sign was passed on to the FIST CW Club after he became Silent Key in 2006. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the W9BCC repeater in Wausau, Wisconsin, on Sundays at 9 p.m. during the Rib Mountain Repeater Association's Sunday Night SwapNet. A popular telephone museum in New England made an important connection recently with a local ham radio club. Andy Morrison, K9AWM, tells us what happened next.
Hams from the Twin State Radio Club, W1FN, had a chance to operate phone in a very different way recently. Dave Coulter, WA1ZCN, and other club members visited the New Hampshire Telephone Museum on the 27th of July to give visitors a two-hour taste of amateur radio. Many of the visitors turned out to be hams themselves. The program focused on amateur radio as a family-friendly activity with a strong public service component, showcasing the wealth of technical advances being made every day. According to Graham Gifford, the museum's director of programming, the amateur radio presentation was a natural fit for what is essentially a museum of communications. Although the Warner, New Hampshire building showcases a wide array of telephones and telephone history, the story it tells of different types of communication through the years extends beyond that. Previous museum events have included an after-school presentation this past April about the solar eclipse and its impact, and a discussion about the Navajo code talkers of World War II. This is Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
Excitement is building for the RSGB convention to be held this fall. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, gives us a preview.
The Radio Society of Great Britain is offering what its website is calling a Feast of Amateur Radio at its convention in Milton Keynes this coming October. Once again, AMSAT's colloquium will take place at the same time during the convention, which is between the 11th and 13th of October. The ups and downs of Solar Cycle 25 and the particulars of Sporadic E are two of the propagation-related presentations being offered this year. Steve Nichols, G0KYA, chairman of the Propagation Studies Committee, will discuss the solar cycle and the predictions he made 3 years ago. Chris Deacon, G4IFX, will be exploring Sporadic E and its use for amateur contacts. In all, there will be three thematic streams of presentations in the program: getting started, operating, and technical. For details, visit the Society's website at rsgb.org/convention. There's also a convention update in the August issue of Radcom, the RSGB's magazine. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
In the world of DX, you have until the 6th of August to work Steve, ZL4CZ, using the call sign E51CZZ, and Steve, ZL2KE, using the call sign E51KEE, from Rarotonga, IOTA number OC-013, and Aitutaki, IOTA number OC-083. They are on 40 through 10 meters, focusing on 2015 and 10 meters. Their activity is holiday style, QSL via law. Logbook of the World. Listen for Randy, K5SL, on the air from Turks and Caicos as a VP5/K5SL from the 14th through the 24th of August on the HF bands. He will be using CW, QSL via his home call. Terry, FY4JI, is active until the 10th of August from French Guiana as TO973FY. He is celebrating the 2024 Paris Olympic Games. Listen on the HF bands, where he will be using sideband and FT8 QSL via EA5GL. Members of the Russian Robinson Club will be active from Ion Island, IOTA number AS038, in the East Siberian Sea using the call sign RI0KA from the 12th to the 29th of August. Listen on various HF bands, QSL via RZ3EC. For our final story, we visit a Pennsylvania college campus building under renovation. If the walls could talk, these walls would tell a story about a ham radio club of bygone years. Travis Lisk, N3ILS, brings us those details.
Like hieroglyphics on a wall, these etchings tell a story. But this tale dates back to some not-so-ancient times. The wall etchings are call signs of students who belonged to the Campus Amateur Radio Society at Lehigh University in Pennsylvania, a club founded a century ago. Some remnants left by members of the now-defunct club were discovered on the walls of a fifth-floor room in a building undergoing renovation. The room was apparently used for storage. The shack, which had been in a number of campus locations, eventually was moved to the building's basement. Following the discovery of the call signs, the university contacted graduates of the college, including Daryl George, whose call sign as a student was WA3EMX, and Neil Wells, whose call sign is still K1UTV. Both are 1969 graduates and shared their memories in an article on the campus website. Both of their call signs appear etched on the building's wall. The club had a call sign, W3AEQ. Gary Wilson, K2GW, continues to renew it, a gesture of optimism that ham radio will be back on the air one day on campus in much the same way it first arrived, through the efforts of students in electrical engineering and physics. For now, the Lehigh University Amateur Radio Society exists only in the memories and the hopes of some of the school's graduates. It exists, too, in those FCC-issued letters and numbers firmly carved into the wall of a campus building so many decades ago. This is Travis Lisk and 3ILS.
Ah, the sweet words of a beautiful poem, they make the heart sing, and the well-chosen words of a well-written haiku guarantee good propagation. Okay, maybe not. But why not pick up a pencil and join the Amateur Radio Newsline Haiku Challenge anyway? Share your experience by sending an original haiku to us here at Newsline. Use the entry form on our website, arnewsline.org, and please follow the rules for writing your three-line haiku. Sorry, but we cannot accept entries that aren't written in traditional haiku form. Share with fellow listeners the poetry that is inspired by your ham radio experience. With thanks to Amateur Radio Daily, AMSAT News, ARRL, Bouvet Island 3Y0K website, CQ Magazine, David Behar, K7DB, DX News, DX World, 425 DX News, FCC, FIS CW Club, Graham Gifford, The Garot Samachar, John Bignall, VE1JMB, Indian Express, Lehigh University, NASA.gov, QRZ.com, Radio Society of Great Britain, Radio World, ShortwaveRadio.de, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG in Union, Kentucky, saying 7-3, and as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2024, all rights reserved.